Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The prosecution resting in the trial of Adam Montgomery. We, at this moment of recording, don't know exactly where the defense will take it, but that's where we're sitting right now. And as the prosecution rests, how good of a case did they present against Adam Montgomery? Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Robin, I mean, this is an interesting one because a lot of the witnesses that were brought up to testify, they got their own past, they got their own baggage, and a lot of it, and a lot of them, not necessarily one would look at as super credible witnesses, but their stories did corroborate quite a bit on their observations and their interactions with Adam Montgomery. What was your thought overall on the case that the prosecution brought against Adam?
Yeah, I think the prosecution did a great job of working with what they had. And when you're dealing with that, I think that level of extreme depravity and his circle of people around him that are that depraved as well, it is what you get. Mm-hmm. I wish we had more tangible evidence, you know, obviously a body, a weapon, something that is even more compelling. But I think the most compelling thing in this entire thing is Adam himself.
Yeah.
Not testifying, arrogance, and even the circle of people around him that are most of them have been incarcerated. Most of them are addicts themselves. When you have that circle of people think horrible things about you, mm-hmm. What's it yes. say about you?
That's a good
point. So I think prosecution did a good job painting a compelling emotional picture of a very, very bad human being. And I think that hopefully it'll be enough.
Do you think it helped or hurt him not showing up to trial? Because he only showed up that very first day, had his tongue out, and just looked horrible. Looked very much like someone who did not care. And then he's chosen to spend the rest of the trial in his jail cell and not making his face known. You think that's going to help him or hurt him as this continues to go forward?
You know, personally, I think it hurts. Mm-hmm. You know, his whole behavior the entire time has hurt him. And I mean, if you're truly innocent, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. But when you have such compelling testimony by so many people, it only hurts you because, as we've said before, At a certain point in your life, when someone bad does bad things and they got you dead to rights on it, or it seems that way, granted, I know you're going to claim innocence, you're going to fight the system, whatever. But if you want to work on lesser sentencing, if you want to move a jury to your side, you got to own the behavior. You know, we've seen this with other cases. We're going to talk about more of them today, you know, where you kind of throw yourself at the mercy of society and say, listen, I suck. I know I suck. And I'm going to be willing to take amends and make amends and hopefully right wrongs and give peace to those that I've committed a crime against. And that is a compelling thing for people that are, it's emotional because everyone is horrible at something and everyone's great at something, but I don't like his lack of owning the behavior, which means throw it at him, man. Go at him hard and take him down.
There was a lot of people who testified, Kayla Montgomery, his former girlfriend, wife, whatever fiance she was. That was, I think, one of the bigger pieces of testimony that we heard right away. She had the stand for several hours. She was a person that was there in the car, experiencing Adam firsthand. Again, another individual who not the most credible of witnesses if we're just to look at her own track record and her history of lying to police and investigators and the whole nine yards, including on this case. And then suddenly when there was a reason to speak up against Adam, she did. It benefited her. But again, her accounts do seem to be corroborated by many other people. What was your thoughts on all the individuals who testified, including Kayla? What stood out to you most?
The thing that stood out to me really was his ex and the amount of reported beatings that Adam gave her. Mm-hmm. You know, we have someone that looks like to me, they had to have been trauma bonded to him because a good, healthy human being would have walked away and saved themselves from that situation. So when it comes to compelling things that the prosecution did effectively well was that they re-emphasized this arc and really bad behavior and violence that Adam was executing on others. And so it wouldn't be – it'll come down, I think, to the jury instructions that they're provided. But it provides a great arc of behavior of violence, mistreatment, unhealthy behaviors. And so why wouldn't he inflict it on his sweet little girl? And I think also – the compelling part is this part that gets us all, the pictures of her, the little girl.
Yeah,
I mean, Harmony is the sweetest. You can, because the way that they've captured the images of her, you can, they're empathetic. Mm-hmm. You can put yourself in those situations where you can see the tragedy of this beautiful little girl who's smiling, who is doing the best she can with all the world has presented her at that place in time. And yet she still finds joy in that life.
Yeah.
That is what I think is so compelling. It's the beatings that were shown by the bruising daily, apparently, that Adam inflicted, and those images of that little girl. Mm-hmm. So if you have a murder weapon or a body or not, that is an individual that needs to be gone out of interacting with human beings.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. When we saw some of the testimony of Kayla, and obviously Kayla's not on trial here. She already has her sentence for her role in this, and she has her deal for communicating and testifying against Adam. But when we look at that, of just what she was, and obviously there are elements where she was a victim here too. She was beat by Adam. There was abuse there, 100% inflicted on Kayla by Adam. But also, she sat there. She watched Harmony get beat. She endured that. That is a hard one to wrap your mind around. I mean, I guess one of those, unless you're in that situation, I guess the dynamics of someone getting there as an adult, as a parent, and watching that happen and being able to just kind of continue on with life without, you know, raising your hand and running away with your own kids. She literally sat there with her other children and said, yeah, we need you. We need you. Your dad. I mean, what is that? I mean, we're looking at abuse. We're looking at, you know, the cycle of abuse and being, you know, trauma bonded to someone in certain ways, but to watch your kids get beat, especially Harmony, beat to death, allegedly. I mean, was she a willing participant in some of this? Both victim? What's your thoughts?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough call to know, you know, not being the licensed clinician or anything on this one. The only thing I can grasp at to kind of grasp the tolerance of the behavior at any level, bonded, and with an escalation of the violence in her life, I think the only thing I can imagine is that she turned to more drugs.
Yeah.
To numb the pain of what she's witnessing. Again, if there's no psychological, you know, malformations or chemical imbalances in her own brain going on, which there might have been. But again, we don't know. We're not that close. We don't have any kind of diagnoses. But the only thing I can think of any human being able to do is to numb that pain. And I think that's what they were all doing, except for Adam himself. He was numbing that pain, but he's inflicting it all.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.